Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyways, the talk show, where we are making the world a polite place to live. We discuss a variety of topics and always enjoy interacting with our listeners. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now here's your host, John Maxwell, certified speaker, 25 plus years, master trainer and coach, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Today is Sunday, April 18th, 2021. We're broadcasting live from the lovely city of Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. This evening, we will discuss a very tough topic, but a topic that is so very necessary. We will talk about National Child Abuse Prevention Month. Okay, so please stay tuned. Well, welcome to the new listeners. In case this is your first time listening, we always like to start our show by answering the question, what is etiquette anyway? And etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. I don't know if that's what you want, but I know that is the main reason we do the show. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket and later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. And who we have to thank for that is Charles I and II of England, because they copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So kudos to Charles I and II. Well, once again, April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and we certainly are going to discuss child abuse prevention measures. We're going to talk about the proclamation that came from the president. And sit tight and hang in there with us on this show. This may not be a show that's going to be really popular in terms of people who are wanting to jump in and make their comments and share, so on and so forth. And that's okay, because we certainly want you to have the information. But in addition to that, if you do want to send us a comment, or if you want to contact us, you want to call us, you can do so. And if you'd like to remain anonymous, that's perfectly fine as well. But our number is 516-418-5894. Again, 516-418-5894. Or you can email your comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com or etiquetteladies@gmail.com, etiquetteladies@gmail.com. I want to bring on my special guest and co-host. She is certainly no stranger to our show. She's been on several times. And Ms. Dawana, how are you today?
Hi, I'm doing well.
Great, great. Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday to you, too.
Thank you so much. Well, listen, I certainly thank you for taking time out of your schedule to just talk to us this evening. It's a very deep subject, but it has to be discussed. And for those who may not be familiar with you, I'm going to just give you an opportunity to just let everybody, you know who you are and whatever you'd like to share.
Okay. My name is Dawana Swift, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I provide therapy to children, families, and adults. And I provide different types of therapy. I provide therapy for people who are going through trauma, who've experienced trauma, who are suffering from grief or relationship problems, relationship difficulties. And just if you need a listening ear, I provide that listening ear. So I provide counseling for everyone and not just the children, but the families as well. And my practice is called Compassion Fosters Change Counseling Services. And I have a small practice, and it's located at 2855 Candler Road. So I'd be happy to see people. And I do therapy in the office and virtually. So it's a small private practice, so I'm just here to provide support for those in need. And I'm just really happy to be here today.
Wonderful, and I'm glad you did mention that you do virtual as well, because, of course, we have a list in different states, so that's going to be good to know. I just want to start out and just really, if anyone is not yet convinced why this is so important, I just want to give a few current stats real quick. As far as child abuse victims are neglected, 74.9%. 92% of cases, parents are the abuser. Okay, 92%. 5,000 sexual abuse cases reported, 4.4 million child abuse cases. 7.5 million children affected. And that calculates out to 5 children that die every day from child abuse. So very, very heartbreaking to hear those statistics. Gosh, Dawana, just comment on that for a minute, please. Those, I'm sure people are still trying to really digest those. I know when I first saw them, I was certainly trying to digest, and I still haven't digested them. It's just unbelievable.
Right. It's really heartbreaking. And a lot of it, some of it can be prevented. And so we have to all get together and talk about child abuse and ways that we can prevent it and support each other. So that's why we're here right now.
Absolutely amazing. Why don't we talk about, before I even, because I do plan to go over the proclamation, but why don't we start out by talking about, why don't you talk about the different types of abuse? And I'm getting some kind of feedback on your line, Dawana. I want to make sure that we have a very clear connection, because I know the listeners certainly are in tune to what's being said. But what are some of the different types? Because, some people may have in their mind, a particular type, maybe physical abuse or, there's some different types. So can you share, just kind of start out by sharing, what are some of the different types of abuse?
Okay, yes. So there's various types, and the abuse can include physical abuse, sexual abuse, child sexual abuse, child neglect, child psychological abuse. So those are the major types. And then we have, those within that. And right now we also have some where there's the digital bullying. So there's a lot of that going on over social media. So we have various types of abuse. And so we all have to be aware of that. It's good to be aware of it so we can talk to our children about it and we can make them aware of it and we can work to find ways to prevent it.
Okay, so I want you to just kind of piggyback a little bit on digital bullying. And the reason I want you to do that is because, so many children still virtually learning, so they're online quite a bit. And so talk about that for a minute, and just for the people who may know what that is exactly, can you just explain what digital bullying is? I'm sure there's a few parents probably thinking, what? Bullying, really? So kind of explain that and break that down, please.
Okay, and it could also be called cyberbullying or cyber harassment. And it's a form of bullying or harassment using electronic means. So it's become common among the teenagers. And they just kind of troll you, and they may say mean things about you on the internet once they get into your messaging. They will say mean things and you just can't get away from it unless you delete all of your information on there. So it's been common among kids, and it can lead to some kids wanting to hurt themselves. So you want to be very careful about how your kids are sending messages to people and who they're sending messages to. You don't want them sending messages to a lot of different people who you don't know who's on the other end, you know, because people are out there and they can say they're one person or another kid, and it could be an adult. And sometimes it is other kids who are just saying mean things about the other kid or your child on the phone, on the internet. So it's really a hard thing, and so we're really trying to work with kids. I know schools are trying to work with kids on trying to prevent this, and you really need to talk to your kids about it and talk to the school administrators about it if you're experiencing that.
So what are some of the signs maybe that a parent may be aware of, or what can they be made aware of to, you know, maybe determine if their child is being bullied, you know, because a lot of times, you know, children, especially depending on the age, they don't necessarily want to have to tell their parents, you know, could be elementary, but especially middle and high school students. So what are some of the ways, I guess, that parents can communicate with their kids so that they will tell? And then if they don't, what are some of the clues, I think, that parents may, you know, tune into?
Okay, so kids can show a lot of avoidance. They may not speak a lot to other, to the family members. They may just withdraw. They may isolate themselves sometimes. They may have crying episodes. So that can signal, you know, different types of abuse, not just bullying online. It can be a warning sign for there could be physical abuse. In terms of if they've experienced any sexual abuse, they could have nightmares. They may regress. For younger children, they may have regress in behavior and may act like they're younger than what they are, or they can become very clingy to their parents. Other times, children may, kids who've been sexually abused may act out sexually, or they may just act in a very provocative way. By touching themselves or trying to touch other kids, even after adults have told them to stop. So if you recognize any of those signs, you should really call, you know, seek counseling. Seek out a counselor or a psychiatrist and your medical doctor. Maybe get them evaluated medically to see if there's any signs of abuse, physical signs of abuse. Because that could be something that you may be overlooking.
So being well tuned in, you know, to your child, or even if you're a teacher, I know that teachers and counselors in the school, anyone pretty much that interacts with children, generally should tune in. And I'm getting feedback again, Dawana. I don't know if you're on speaker or or I'm not quite sure where it's coming from, but I just want to make sure the audience can certainly, be able to hear everything very clearly.
Okay. I took it off the speaker, so now maybe it'll work better. Can you hear me better now?
Cool. Uh-huh. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. So I want to, you all can certainly join the conversation, 516-418-5894, or send us an email. Send an email to etiquetteladies@gmail.com. And again, you can remain anonymous whether you reach out to us by phone or email. Here's one I do want to read. Miss Donna, I have a friend that is being abused, but she is afraid to tell anyone. She doesn't want to be the reason that her mom gets in trouble. I want to tell the teacher, but I don't want to get her in trouble. What can I do or what can my friend do? Thank you. We are both in the fifth grade. Okay. So here we go. So we've got an elementary school age child.
And she's saying that her friend, she suspects her friend is being abused.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't, and she wants to tell. Well, the best thing to do is to let an adult know. You should always let an adult know because you can really help your friend out that way. And your friend will forgive you eventually, but you have to try to obtain safety. You want your child to be in just safe, and you want your friend to be safe. So that's the best thing to do is to let an adult know, let a trusted adult know. We always say tell a trusted adult. So it could be a teacher or it could be a counselor. It could be your parent, and then the parent can contact another parent or an authority figure, whether that's the police or someone. So you want to tell a trusted adult so they can seek help for the child.
Okay. And this sounds pretty common, though, because I know we've done several of these shows. I'm just looking at she doesn't want to be the reason that her mom gets in trouble. And then, of course, she is stating that she wants to tell the teacher, but she doesn't want to get her in trouble, so she doesn't want to get the friend in trouble. Isn't that very common?
Yes, that is common. That's very common. People are always fearful of getting someone in trouble, but it's better to err on the side of safety. You want your friend to be safe, and you can't just worry about just getting them in trouble right then, because if they're harmed, then, you know, what's the trouble going to do? You have to think about safety, and you want them to be safe, and so you have to let the teacher know. It's really hard, but I think your friend would be thankful in the end if she is being abused. It's just you don't want anything tragic to happen to your friend, so you want to let them know. And sometimes parents need that support as well. They may not realize it in the beginning, if it is an abusive parent, but they can sometimes come to realize it in the end, in the long term, that they needed some support and that they needed to learn new ways of providing discipline if it is a parent. But we do want our kids to be safe.
And in case you all are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We're talking about child abuse. We're talking about signs. We're talking about, you know, what to do in order to, you know, let someone know. And, of course, as parents, as trusted friends, as educators, it's so important for us to also, you know, when we're around children, to listen out for clues because they may not necessarily directly inform you. And then you have to report that, you know, what you find out. And what I think about is years ago I directed an after-school program, and this one, he was fourth grade, I think. He may have been in the fourth grade. And I asked him who was, I just happened to ask him who was picking him up. And he told me that his dad was picking him up. And he said, but I need to make sure my homework is done before he picks me up, because if not, you know, he's going to hit me. And I'm thinking, I was like, really? Okay. And he and I said, so he's going to hit you? Are you sure? And he said, yes, if I don't get my work all done, you know, he hits me. And so I said, okay. And so when he told me that, and then he, this boy started basically shaking, okay?
Mm.
And so that told me between what he said and, you know, what was happening with him physically, I said, okay, there's something's going on.
Right.
And so what I did is I had to reach out, first of all, to the principal to let him know, to let her know what was happening. And so I reached out to her. And so this little boy ended up started crying, and he kept asking what time was it, because he knew the time that his dad told him he was going to come to pick him up. So the next thing I did is, you know, I radioed for the staff where the parent was going to be coming in to detain this parent downstairs. I'll never forget, we were in the media center upstairs, and I said, I need you guys to just kind of detain him for a little bit. And so they did. And so by that time, the principal reached out to the school social worker, and the school social worker spoke with him, and, you know, she certainly determined there was something that was truly going on with this child. And so then, I mean, it was to the point after she spoke with him that they needed to call, you know, the school authority. And it came to find out this was true. It had happened before. And what was so interesting is that this, his father was a public figure. Okay.
Mm.
And so that's another reason why he was so afraid, because he wouldn't think anybody would believe him. Now, this is a fourth grade kid. I think he's 9 or something like that. 9, maybe 10 at the most. And so my heart just really went out to him. And so he, yeah, it was just, oh my gosh. I just, it was almost like it happened yesterday. But for him to say that, and then for me to look at him, and I'm thinking, you know, something is, you know, something's going on with him. And so long story short, you know, they detained the dad for a while, and then the dad ended up coming upstairs. But by the time he came upstairs, and he was kind of screaming for him to come on. And then by that time, you know, the school authority was there. And so they said that they were going to just go and speak with him further. And so, yeah, so that was just, that was bizarre. So we have to certainly keep our, you know, our ears and our eyes open to protect the kids. And who would have known that? But I'm just so glad that, and I just say the Lord gave me that discernment that when he, when I asked him and he looked at me, and I knew, I said, this little boy is sincere in what he's saying. And so when they came back and they confirmed, and then they said this was not the first time that,
right,
you know, this came up. And I thought, oh, my gosh. So, but anyway.
Right. So that's, yes, you know, that's great that you were able to alert the authority figures. Because who knows what would have happened, and you were able to get someone to intervene.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that was just, that was amazing. And then, you know, come to find out he had called, his parents were divorced. His mom lived in a different state. And so they found out that he had texted his mother, and then the dad found out, and then, you know, he abuse them again, you know, for doing that. And so, you know, we just have to do all we can, you know, to save our kids, especially with the stats that I read at the top of, and that was just the stats at that particular time that I read at the beginning of the show. And so I'm just, you know, they were able to kind of get that resolved. I'm not sure if he actually went home with his father that evening or not. Because, you know, after they kind of took over, then they weren't really allowed to say anything else. But to say that there was merit behind what this child had actually shared.
Right, and right.
I was so grateful that he felt comfortable enough to share that with me. And I was just so grateful that, you know, he felt comfortable because just, you know, the kids are scared, you know. They're just
right. And they want someone. Sometimes they need that person who's listening, who's paying close attention, who will listen and provide them with that support and that help because they don't know what to do. And so when you have that adult who's listening like that and who can intervene and get other people involved, support people involved, and they can intervene and make changes in the kid's life that can really be supportive of that child and help them to grow and thrive.
And I know one of the staff asked me afterwards, they said, well, you know, aren't you afraid that, you know, maybe the dad would come back and do something? I said, absolutely not. Not at all. Because, you know, my job at that time and my mission was to make sure this child was protected. And so, you know, so whatever the repercussion is, then, you know, I'm not afraid of it because I, at that point, I was mostly and mainly only concerned about that child. But,
want somebody, you have to think of it as you would want somebody to help your child if it was your child or if it was your relative. You would want them to help your relative. So we have to be able to step in and support each other.
Absolutely. Well, we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back in just a moment. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
According to the American Diabetes Association, the strongest evidence for diabetes prevention comes from the Diabetes Prevention Program, or DPP. Demonstrated that an intensive lifestyle intervention could reduce the incidence of type 2 diabetes by 58% over 3 years.
There's something you can do right now that will ease the pain of arthritis in years to come. By remembering the Arthritis Foundation in your will, you can help us find ways to stop this serious, often crippling disease. A disease that affects 1 in every 7 Americans. Call the Arthritis Foundation at 1-800-283-7800. 1-800-283-7800. It's time we took arthritis seriously.
Hello, parents. Do you have school-age children or know someone who does? Listen up. Miss Donna has worked with youth and parents, building confidence and self-esteem for over 30 years. She is a John Maxwell certified master level trainer and coach, as well as a certified DISC trainer. Since numerous parents have asked Donna for advice regarding their children and teens, during this challenging time, she is offering special coaching sessions right now. Participating in these sessions will help your youth to become more inspired and motivated during the pandemic and beyond. Testimonial. Sarai Blue says, Miss Donna's training motivated, uplifted, and encouraged my children, ages 5, 9, and 15, and they are excited and feeling confident again. If you are interested or know someone who is, quickly go to www.missdonnaspeaks.com. That's www.missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Click Coaching, then Contact, and complete requested info, or send an email to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. MSDONNASPEAKS@gmail.com. Hurry, space is limited.
Do you want your children to be respectful and kind to others? Do you want to foster positive relationships, gain the skills to manage traumatic experiences, or just learn helpful ways to manage the stresses of everyday life? If you do, contact Awana Swift at CompassionFostersChange@yahoo.com. CompassionFostersChange@yahoo.com. At Compassion Fosters Change Counseling Services, you will experience a listening ear and gain the skills and insight to manage problems on your own. Counseling services are provided for children, adults, and families. For a consultation or to make an appointment, go to CompassionFostersChange@yahoo.com. 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 At Compassion Fosters Change Counseling Services, you and your family will receive the support needed to foster more happiness in life. Compassion Fosters Change Counseling Services. This commercial was produced by MsDonnaSpeaks.com, MsDonnaSpeaks.com.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. You may join the conversation by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to MsDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. Now back to the show.
Okay, we are back, and we are speaking about National Child Abuse. This is National April. It's National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and you can certainly get in on the conversation if you'd like, 516-418-5894, or email your questions or comments to etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Okay, so Dawana, let's here is what I want to read. And by the way, if you all are, if you have like a testimony or anything you want to send, if you were abused or anything as a child or something, and you actually overcame this, then certainly if you want to share, you can feel free to share. You don't necessarily have to. You can remain anonymous again, so that's not a problem whatsoever. But we would like to hear from you if you would like to share. Okay, so Dawana, here's one. It says, Ms. Dawana, first, I would like to remain anonymous. I am so glad you are doing this show. I was abused by both parents who were on drugs from age 4 to 11. I was abused, and it was a teacher at my school that told the principal afterwards. I went to live with my aunt, and she really loved me and helped me. I am doing better now that I am in college. I want kids to know that it is okay to tell somebody. Thank you again for discussing this on your show and what you do. And this is anonymous. Thank you so much for sharing that. So she basically is telling people to exactly, what we said. Just please, it's okay to tell someone.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mhm. Yeah, it's very important that you tell so that the abuse can stop. We want to get, other people aware so that they can look out for those warning signs and to show support for the children. We have to get it to stop, or it just keeps repeating itself among, different children.
Wow. Excuse me. So I knew, this is a very, very challenging and somewhat difficult topic to discuss, but it has to be discussed. I want to I promised that I would read this proclamation on National Child Abuse Prevention Month by President Biden. So I do want to do that right now. It says, we begin to emerge from a year of unprecedented stress and hardship. Children and families need our support more than ever. The confluence of a devastating pandemic and the worst economic crisis in nearly a century have increased the risk for child abuse and neglect as Americans grapple with the compounding challenges of school and child care facility closures, social isolation, and increased financial instability. Children and families of color, who so often across our history have been underserved, marginalized, and adversely affected by persistent poverty and inequality, face even greater adversity today as they disproportionately carry the burdens of the COVID-19 crisis. During National Child Abuse Prevention Month and throughout the entire year, it is imperative that we join together as one nation to combat child abuse in all of its forms through neglect, mistreatment, or physical, emotional, or sexual abuse. Community-based child abuse prevention programs are a critical tool for preventing the mistreatment of children and advancing equity. Authorized by Title II of the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act, community-based child abuse prevention programs is to support local efforts that strengthen and support families to reduce the likelihood of child abuse. These programs offer comprehensive assistance that improves family stabilization while also fostering meaningful engagement with diverse populations to promote effective prevention strategies. Across our country, a vast network of frontline workers, court and legal professionals, faith leaders, volunteers, teachers, and helpful loved ones, and neighbors work every day to support the well-being of our children. They deserve our recognition and our sincere gratitude, particularly in the midst of this difficult year. Though the pandemic has changed the ways that they interact with the families they serve, they have shown remarkable resilience, and their dedication to preventing child abuse continues to transform lives. We recognize that within the larger context of addressing child abuse, there is a need to specifically address issues of sexual violence against children and adolescents. My administration is committed to expanding efforts to improve prevention initiatives, enhance trauma-informed responses to assist children and adolescents impacted sexual violence, and work toward healing and justice. It is imperative not only in the U.S., but also in galvanizing global action to end sexual violence against children and adolescents. And by the way, I am reading, in case you're just joining us, I'm reading the proclamation on National Child Abuse Prevention Month for 2021. National Child Abuse Prevention Month is a time for us not only to honor those who work to support children and strengthen families, but to shine a light on the many ways we can all play a role in preventing children from being harmed. The Prevention Resource Guide, an annual publication by the Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families Children's Bureau, outlines actions that can be taken by community, organizations, families, and individuals to address the root causes of child abuse and provide meaningful and equitable support to families. You can access the Prevention Resource Guide and other resources at the Child Welfare Information Gateway's Child Abuse Prevention Month website. By increasing efforts to prevent child abuse, we will help children, families, and communities thrive. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim April 2021 as National Child Abuse Prevention Month. All Americans to protect our nation's greatest resources, its children, and to take an active role in supporting children and parents and creating safe communities filled with thriving families. And witness whereof I hear and to set my hand this 31st day of March in the year of our Lord 2021 and of the independence of the United States of America, the 245th. This is by President Joseph R. Biden, Jr. And I just wanted to take the time to read that entire proclamation because we've been talking about the types of child abuse and you know, some of the signs to watch for, so on and so forth. And so what I want to talk now about, and that's why I wanted to read this while I did, prevention. What can you say to parents or to those other adults listening? What are some prevention measures that can be taken?
Okay, yeah, so the parents can just look for those warning signs, look for those kids who are, who feel like they don't want to be touched. Those who don't want to really be touched, that could be a warning sign that they've been abused. They don't, if they're, like I said, regressing and showing behaviors of bedwetting or crying, these are the younger children with throwing temper tantrums a lot. Those are other signs of just behavior, too, for other problems, but it could be also related to abuse as well, especially if they have physical signs of abuse. For teenagers, it could be like increased problems in school. They could just, like I said, isolate themselves. But parents can also, they should calmly talk to their children, offer comfort and support. When you're talking to your child about their behavior, try to just be a listening ear to them. Try not to show disgust if they do disclose information about abuse about someone else or themselves. You want to just listen. You can go into your private room and you know, show that disgust then. But when you're there with the kid, just let them know that you're there to support them and that everything's going to be okay. And then reassure the child that they're not to blame for the abuse. You want to really reassure them that, because sometimes they can be told by the abuser that they're to blame. They could be threatened, and that's why some kids don't want to inform others that they're being abused. So you want to reassure them that they're not to blame for the abuse. You want to let them know that they're still loved and that you want to support them. And you yourself, as a parent, don't blame yourself for the abuse. It was out of your control. Parents can't be everywhere. It takes everyone being able to support the child. You can provide, you know, all types of protection, but you do need other people helping you to support your child. So try not to blame yourself. It's just about getting your child support if they are being abused at that moment. You want to show them that you do care, that you're going to provide that protection. And that they're not to blame. Okay?
Okay, that's great information to, you know, for the parents to help them to support their child if they're being abused. Now I want to just kind of shift for a moment. For those parents out there or the adults that are actually abusing children, so I want you to give them a message at this point, because we know, you know, with the stats are very high, I think it was like 72% of the parents are actually abusing. And of course, you know, we've all seen, you know, in the news over the last year, you know, with the pandemic, that, you know, domestic abuse, just so much abuse has increase due to people being, you know, forced to be together. You know, the people are working from home, or they're the children are actually, you know, virtually learning. So everybody's with each other. People are in each other's way. You know, a lot of the parents are stressed out. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do. Some of them have lost their jobs, some of them. So for those who are actually the abusers, I want you to speak with them for a moment.
Okay, yes, you're right. You're exactly right. Those parents are really stressed out because they're having to work outside of the home, or if they're working from home. And like you said, everybody's all in the house together, and so they're stressed out, and they have to monitor the kids to make sure they're doing their schoolwork and actually be the teacher for the kids with doing their schoolwork, since the teacher, they can't be in the school all the time. So it's a lot of stress on the parents. So for parents, I want them to, you know, if they feel themselves getting really angry, just step away for a moment. Step away. Take some deep breaths. You may have to count to 100, but you need to step away when you're getting really angry, when you recognize that, to calm yourself. Then go try to speak to your child about whatever your concerns are. Once you're calm, then you go and try to speak to them. And this can prevent some aggressive behavior. Respect that your child has their individuality. Remember that this is a person, too, and that they may not think and behave the same way as you. It's an individual person. So you have to respect that. Know that you want to be consistent with rules. You do want to set rules, but you want to be consistent with them. You want to make sure that you're following through with what you say and that your child is, too. This makes the child feel secure, and that you're going to always do the same thing and have the same response regarding their behavior. So you want to be consistent with the rules. As I said before, you want to control your emotional response. So if you need to step away and take a time out for yourself, parents have to take time out too. So if you need to take a time out for yourself, step away, calm yourself first before going back to speak with your child about whatever misbehavior there was. Now, you want to also match the discipline to the behavior. So you don't want to give these outrageous punishments. I tell parents all the time, if your child has, if they've received bad grades, they may have received a few bad grades, but you don't want to take the phone away or their TV away for a whole month just because they've received one or two bad you know, grades on an assignment. It's not the whole entire if for the whole class. It's just a couple of bad grades. You want the punishment to fit. So you take the phone away for a few weeks or just a few days. It depends on the child's age, or the TV away. You want to work on a plan with them to get their grades up. I've talked to parents and have them work on a plan as far as, you know, having the kid come up. Okay, so what do you think your punishment should be? And sometimes they'll say, I had one kid say, well, maybe take the phone away and the TV away during the week. And then I use the phone on the weekends. So that's a good plan. And if the kid can start bringing up the grades during that time, then that's working. If they can't, then you may have to take it away longer. I don't think the kids need the phone during the time that they are doing their schoolwork. So it could be after they've done their schoolwork. Maybe they have like an hour to be on the phone or an hour to be on TV. But then you take the phone back. But so it depends on the age and what grades they're receiving. And what the behavior is, what they've done as far as misbehaving. So it could just be a few days for younger children that you want to take a TV away, 2 or 3 days, and then you give it back. It's based on their behavior. So it's a give and take. If they make the good grades, then you give it back. If they don't, you take it away. And then you want to just let them know still that you love them, that you're doing this and you still love them, but you have to provide discipline and love. So those are some of the steps and things I think parents should do.
Great, great. And so love is just major to make sure that you, you know, you love and protect your children. And I like what you said, tell them to step away because we should never really punish a child in the, you know, while we're enraged. You know,
right.
So we have to, it's very important certainly to do that. I want to read this list real quick. It says, Ms. Don, I wanted to share my testimony. I am a foster parent who used to be an abuser until I sought counseling. A lot of people look down on counseling, but it was great for me. I want to suggest that if you are an abuser or know someone who is, please recommend that they speak to a therapist. This is from Connie D. in Alpharetta. Connie, thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you for your honesty, stating that that was you, so and being transparent. So we certainly do appreciate that.
Right, and that's great. That's great because so many parents, some parents have been abusive, and if you recognize that you have been abusive, yes, you should seek help. It's okay. You have therapists out there who are willing to help you. They want to help you provide the proper discipline for your children.
Well, and I definitely don't want to conclude the show here without giving out some contact information. Of course, we know that for the child help, there's a child help hotline, which is 1-800-4-A-CHILD, or that is 1-800-422-4453. If you're needing help, also it's www.childhelp.org. Again, that is www.childhelp.org. It's also the Child Help Hotline. So certainly, you know, feel free to reach out either way. And again, you know, let me just kind of reiterate, Dawana, that I knew that this would be, this episode would be a little more low-key because this is a very difficult and challenging topic to address, but it is so necessary with the numbers. And we have to remember, you know, children are, just look at them. Overall, it's delicate flowers, if you will. Parents are saying, delicate flowers, all right, maybe when they're babies. But I guess the best way is to remember when they were babies. And but, yeah, so we do want to. We want to protect them, and we want to, you know, we want to protect adults want to protect themselves as well, and you want to protect yourself to the point where if you feel as though that, as Dawana mentioned, you know, that you're going to be just out of order or just, you know, you're so enraged that you want to hit your child, or then, yes, you do need to step away because we, again, you know, we're talking about prevention, and I know if you want to, Dawana, if you would, for those who may have joined us late, just kind of go over. I know you mentioned some of the different types of abuse at the onset of the conversation today. So if you could just name a couple of those, if you would, again, just as a reminder.
Okay. Yes. So there was the child physical abuse. There's the child sexual abuse, the child neglect, child psychological abuse. And then we have the cyberbullying that occurs. And that's, again, that's just where people are sending your kids or posting or sharing negative and harmful information. It can be false information. It's just mean content to a person. And that can occur over all the social media, such as Facebook and Instagram, and Snapchat and TikTok. So it can be really damaging to a child emotionally and lead to them wanting to just lead to depression or them feeling really bad about themselves. So that's another type of abuse. So it would be good to just look for those types of abuse and talk to your kids about abuse. And parents should know that you just can't stop the threat of violence to your children all by yourself, because there's just so much information out there where kids can get a hold of it. So you want to talk to your children about it, and you want to reach out for help if you suspect abuse. And you can also contact DFAS. You can contact the Department of Family and Children's Services, and if you suspect abuse, and then they can start an investigation. And that number is 1-855-422-4453. And I think that's the main number, but they should give you a number for your local area, for your county, in terms of reporting that mistreatment. So
repeat that number one more time, please.
Okay, it's 1-855-422-4453. And I think that's the main Department of Family and Children's Services number, but they will give you a number for your county so you can report the abuse.
Okay, 1-855-422-4453. 4453. Okay, because I'm going to post that as well. Well, Lisa DeWanna, thank you again so much for your time and sharing this information. It has certainly been a blessing. And those of you who may have joined a little late, all of our shows are archived, so you'll be able to go back and listen to it in its entirety. Thank you again for supporting our show, listeners. We certainly do appreciate you. Those who reach out to us, thank you so much for that. If you have an etiquette question or topic you'd like to hear us cover in the future, please be sure to let us know. And we appreciate when you tell your friends and your family about our show. We are so grateful that you invite them to listen. And, of course, you know, we know that our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. We know we can only do that one person at a time, and we can only do that with your help as well, okay? And we ask you each week to make sure you initiate a random act of kindness, okay, this week. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. And you guys hear me pretty much say that every week. One of my favorite proverbs comes from Proverbs 3:3. Again, thank you all so much for tuning in, especially for this very, very important topic. Please feel free to share the link with someone else so they can listen to the information. And listen, we will talk to you soon. We want to ask you to continue to be safe out there, okay? Good night. Take care, and God bless you.
There is a lot of uncertainty going on in our world today, but you can be certain that Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady, and What Is Etiquette Anyway talk show, will be here to continue to encourage you. Stay safe and be encouraged.
Thanks for listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we will discuss another exciting topic.